Now, if we've had a guest on the program who's been on a lot, the chances are I just may guess who they are. But if we had a guest on who's been on once or twice and there's a long time in between, it might be tougher for me to guess who that person might be. And then you've got people like Roger Lear, and don't forget, keep saying a prayer for him so he gets better. When he comes on, and he's been on once or twice behind the secret door, he changes his voice, and that's very difficult for me to find out who it is. So let's open up the secret door, first of all. There we are. So in comes our first secret guest. Hello there.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I know when you hear my voice, Truman Capote will come to mind.
I was going to say that.
Yeah, but you know, I'm just here to tell you that's just not the case. I'm going to give you a clue. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. You know, if you were out in the wild and you were hunting for secrets, what the Greeks call cryptos.
Okay.
What would you be hunting and who would you be hunting with?
I have no idea. Let me talk with you for just a little bit longer here before I get down and beg for forgiveness here. Have you been a regular Coast to Coast guest? You've been on a lot?
Well, I've been on quite a few years, yes, on and off. People know me if they heard me talk normally.
Because your voice is, you've changed it so much, are you a male or female?
Oh, I'm definitely male, at least last time I checked.
Okay, all right, I would have assumed that, but you never know.
Now remember, George, the clue is the Greek definition of a secret.
The Greek definition of a secret.
Crypto. You know,
crypto.
Crypto.
Crypto. Mundo. Lauren Coleman?
Not quite, but you're getting close. You're in the jungle. It's dark.
Let me think.
You see a being. He's got green skin. You're wondering what he is.
All right. You're a crypto expert, right?
Pretty close. I hunt cryptos.
You're John Rhodes.
That's right.
That may be one of the best voices I have ever heard. I thought for a split second you might be Evelyn Paglini, the Good Witch.
Oh, I love the androgynous comment that you made there, though, you know.
Oh, my God. Great job, John.
Thank you very much. You know, when you have a lot of alone time as a kid, you learn to entertain yourself. And by, you know, doing voices, it can be very entertaining. I've seen children do it. They're great at it.
A couple weeks ago, I watched a Showtime movie about Truman Capote. It was a movie, not a documentary. And you sound exactly the way he used to sound.
Why, thank you very much. I appreciate it. I know he was quite an artist.
He sure was. So tell me,
he was quite an actor.
What's new with John Rhodes these days in the world of cryptozoology?
Oh, well, crypto hunting encapsulates a lot more than just the cryptozoological stuff, which you know me for, and a lot of people out there do. But I consider going out there and looking for secrets. You know, sometimes there's a lot of secrets out there and paperwork and old books out there on the Internet that Google scanned, that they've done so many millions of books by now, they're not really editing them for great material. And there's some great material out there from, like, the 1800s. Or 19th century that's available through doing some scans and some great research for the last 100 or 200 years that we haven't heard or seen. I was actually crypto hunting the Internet one night, and I discovered a document that was from the 2006 Anthropological Great Basin meeting that occurred, in which the representative, the chairman of the Pahrump Paiute Indian tribe, gave a PowerPoint presentation. And in this PowerPoint presentation that was given, it was research that was funded by the U.S. Air Force in the Nevada Test and Training Range, which, of course, encapsulates a lot of Area 51, the Tonopah Test Range, the Nevada Test Site, all of that area, which has that secret work going on up there. And in this study, one of the slides actually talks about their belief systems that they have, the Paiute have, and they actually say that underground they still believe that there are beings with reptilian humanoid appearance living there, and that these are extraordinary beings. Now, remember, this is a report funded by the U.S. Air Force.
That's an amazing story. Might these be the ant people that the Hopis talk about, John?
Well, these are the snake people or the lizard people. The ant people, I think, are the grays, which, of course, we now know because we see, look at an ant from a Hopi standpoint. If it's an ant on a rock, it's got a large bulbous head, large eyes. It seems to have thin extremities and arms. And then when they recognize these beings are coming up from underground and they see these like characteristics, they immediately consider them like an ant. They think of them as a part of nature, because that's what the Hopi are completely, you know, imbued into, is all of nature. And in addition to that, you have these other beings, the snake people, that have been talked about through the desert Southwest Indian mythologies. And again, now we look at it from a modern perspective, we see these could possibly be what we perceive as the grays and the reptilian humanoids. You know, the Hopi word for ant is Anu, and, you know, in the same language, the word Naki means a good offering or a good prayer. So the combination of the Anu and Naki is kind of like ant friend or something like that. Now, that's kind of like the Anunnaki of Zachariah Sitchin talks about.
If you had to hone in on your expertise in cryptozoology, whether it's the search for Big Bird, Bigfoot, Thunderbirds, or Big Bird, what would you say would be your favorite subject?
Well, I guess what you know me best for, you know, having worked, you know, through the years bringing forth this information regarding reptilian humanoids, only because we're talking about a lot of colleagues of mine out there, they like to play it scientifically safe so they could be considered more serious, you know, by people in the scientific community. So they don't like to really talk about animals that may have achieved a high state of intelligence. They don't dare go through there. A lot of cryptozoologists, they don't want to enter that realm because they want to be taken seriously, what little credibility cryptozoology truly has. I mean, there's no degrees for it or anything. So when I'm out there looking for something that has achieved intelligence, perhaps a high degree of technological advancement, you know, even other people in my field like to separate themselves because they feel that's too much of a great leap. But it represents what most of us out there are thinking.
Reptilian humanoids, extraterrestrial, or were they always part of this planet?
I believe that this planet may have originally been theirs, and other beings that have come down have interacted with us. And so it's interaction of a reptilian humanoid planet and descendants of the giants or the elves that may have been actually military-industrial complex and others, elitists from the undersurface of Mars, because whatever disaster destroyed the surface, we don't know if it happened over hundreds of years or overnight, but the only ones that would have survived, given the state of disruption on the surface, where there's hardly a sign of life, then the ones who are underground, just like our military-industrial complex is underground, and they could remain there for thousands of years and never have to worry about it if they wanted to, the survivors would need to try and find somewhere else to colonize, and of course that would be nearby Earth. So you have these groups coming down, the gods coming down and taking humans and wanting humans from the ape-like man that was here and dumbing them down and using them as cattle, so we don't know the difference between good and evil. And then you have the serpents who came up saying, hey, listen, let's disrupt this slave race thing that they've got going on for these super giant elder gods, and let's give them intelligence. And once they did that, it was a real problem because humans were awakened. And now these two god-like entities, or what we call aliens now, but back then they called them gods, they both influence society. It hasn't been just the reptoids. It's also been this giant Nordic, blonde, blue-eyed, almost Nazi-like, militaristic, corporate intelligence type of being groups that consider them super gods. And again, we look back in history and think of these wars in heavens between these these gods. Obviously, they're fighting over something, and it, from what historical record is, they want to fight over our belief systems.